Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With Xavier Worthy, I saw an ability to control that speed that was unique with how much teams are able to take advantage of that speed now at the NFL level with how they're using motion. I think he can be such a weapon.
Quick toss to Xavier Worthy. Worthy's still out! The Bombers! The sideline! He's tough! He's fast! He's Xavier Worthy! House call!
If you want to see NFL receiver things, like NFL receiver routes, NFL receiver alignment, X receiver stuff, you get it from A.D. Mitchell's film, man.
Loose in the pocket, launching downfield. Mitchell, touchdown, Texas.
And then you get to that kind of second-ish tier, if you will, of Brian Thomas, Adonai Mitchell, Keon Coleman, Troy Franklin, Xavier Worthy are all there. Xavier Leggett. I'll tell you what, to watch these guys at the combine, big, tall, heavy, fast dude.
Right or wrong, I probably deserve criticism for trading up sometimes. I get that. But if there's a guy I like and I'm confident, I want to go to bed Thursday night that I got him.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
I had not heard or heard of that last comment from Brandon Bean. I respect it. Like, I've had only a few conversations with him, but, you know, I just think trading up makes you an easy mark. But here's Bean like, yeah, I get it. That's probably fair. But whatever. I'm going to get the guy I want. At least he doesn't pretend like it's good math or something.
Right.
It's hard not to like him because, you're probably right. It's fair, but whatever. I'm going to bed with the guy I wanted the draft. You know, he's done okay, Brandon Bean, actually. He's done okay.
The team has been quite good.
The Bills have done okay.
Yeah.
This may sound like any other conversation you've heard us have getting started, but actually, it's also our Facebook Live NFL pre-draft show presented by Upstate Honda Dealers. For great deals, visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here. Between now and 6 o'clock Eastern, we'll be joined by Sneaky Joe DiBiase, Nate Geary, and Jeremy White, each weighing in and chatting with us about what we think may be happening in a week, the start of the NFL draft next Thursday night. And first, leading us off here is our own Sal Capaccio. Sal, we have today to talk about, maybe before we get into next Thursday, with Bean and Sean McDermott and Josh Allen, who you heard in that montage as well. Allen, this was talked about today, wasn't it? Allen knows the draft pretty well.
Yeah, for sure. Good to join you guys. Leading off, just like I always was the leadoff hitter, to be quite honest, so I feel good in this role, guys. First of all, Brandon Bean spoke before Josh Allen. With Brandon Bean, then Sean McDermott, then Josh Allen. So the context is, I asked Brandon Bean, like, how much he'll get input from Josh, how much Josh might have any influence whatsoever on these particular prospects, mainly wide receiver. And I also asked him, like, what happens when the guys come into town, the top 30 visits, is Josh a part of that in any way? You know, just kind of get a feel for how they want to see that interaction. And Bean said there's no rule against, you know, Josh meeting them if he's at the facility. Like, he could come up to him, say hello, things like that. He said Josh likes the draft, and he likes that Josh likes the draft. So Josh does have opinions on some guys, and he'll maybe throw his two cents in there. So later on, we followed up with Josh and, you know, how does that work for you? And he said he watches a lot of YouTube highlights on these guys, and he'll actually talk to people who might know them, you know, through college or the league or whatever. And he does, you know, maybe give a few comments to Brandon Bean. And then he ended with, I'd like to think I have more influence than I do, but the reality is I really don't.
Well, it was interesting, however, to hear Allen say that he texted, wasn't it Allen who said he texted Dalton Kincaid? Right.
And two words.
Allen's pretty self-aware at these things. Maybe he might have had an instinct like, does that sound like I told the GM who to take or anything? Like, did I put pressure? So then he sort of, you know, pulled back a little bit and said what you pointed out, how just, I don't really think I have any influence. What's actually best when it comes to this? Like, I think maybe I would say fine that he is listened to, but he's not scouting and he probably doesn't know the analytics stuff too well.
I'll go real quick here, Sal. I feel like what's best is to have the GM make the player feel like he's being heard. And that's, you know, and respected, not patronized, but you're still like, he's not choosing the players for you, but you just want to give him some room. You know, he's the most important dude in the franchise. I don't think it's even particularly close right now. So, you know, just don't patronize him.
Well, let me give you something that was said and something that's been unsaid, but I will tell you. Number one, this was said 2 years ago, the Bills hired Ken Dorsey as the offensive coordinator. And for right or wrong how that worked out, I mean, I know we all see what the results were and now that he's not. But if you remember back in that time period, guys, they were asked about Josh Allen's input. And they said, like, yeah, it matters to us. We want Josh Allen to have input on that and to feel comfortable with the person. And even so, like, they even referenced, without saying Aaron Rodgers' name, they even referenced at that time Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay and how you could see how you could have, you know, fractured relationships with a franchise quarterback with an organization. And we don't want to get to that point, right? We want to make sure that, you know, our franchise quarterback understands what's happening. It has a say and feels like he has a say in what's going on and is happy, basically. And I will also tell you, just from talking with the Bills, that is not lip service. The Bills care that Josh Allen at least feels like he's being heard and doesn't like not like something. So it's not that he has to endorse something necessarily, but I would bet you this, and I don't know this for sure, but I would bet you that if Josh Allen went to Brandon Bean and said, listen, I don't think I can throw to that guy. I've watched his reps. He's not the kind of guy for me. I've heard bad things about him. Maybe Brandon Bean still takes him, but I think it would at least give him pause. Mm-hmm. They would at least take that into consideration. The thing that he doesn't know, and they all said this today, he doesn't know the medicals. He's not sitting in there with people with these types of interviews and going in depth about how smart they are on the board. Very, very important, that aspect of it, by the way. The medicals are really important, obviously. And Brandon and Sean both talked today about how, like, these guys and how smart they are and what they can handle and retain. Like, that's a big part of the process. Josh isn't going to know that just from watching highlights.
Does he know the red flag of mine when it comes to Mitchell and Brian Thomas, the yards per route run stats? Does he know the number side of it? I guess we don't know for sure. We don't have to dwell on it anyway. What was said today about the Bills trading Stephon Diggs, Sal? Like, Allen, from what little I heard of him, not surprisingly, you know, made it sound like he showed respect toward Diggs, appreciation toward him, and, you know, nobody's talking like it's the end of the world here for the Bills. Of course, that's to be expected.
I thought about you a little bit here today, Mike, for something, and I'll tell you what that is, okay?
Okay.
First of all, let's start with Brandon Bean, which is, you know, he said, obviously, you never can replace a player like Stephon. I think actually Sean might have said that quote, but they both had the same tone on that. You know, respected what he did for 4 years in the organization. And, you know, he spoke more of it from a standpoint of, he was asked about where that leaves them at wide receiver. And his quote, and I put this out in my article, WGR550.com, which is, he said, I'm not sitting here thinking we have a glaring hole. But he did admit they don't have a number one. But then he said, but we think we can be successful without a number one. So I personally think maybe he's just trying to not give leverage to anyone. I think you said that a little bit earlier, Bulldog, in a different way, right?
Like, yeah.
You don't want to throw a flag up to the rest of the league and go, I need a number one. Someone please help me.
Right.
You don't want to do that.
No. Yeah, I felt like him using that, the way he said that, made me feel like the opposite is what he's leaving the room thinking, man, I need to get a number one.
Yeah. So I think, you know, as much as he does like the guys in the room, and I do believe that part of it, they've always believed in their development and the ascension of players and go to from year two to year three, like a Khalil Shakir or someone like that. I mean, I think that even he recognizes like they still need some work at the position, particularly at the top of the depth chart. As far as Josh is concerned, Josh said, you know, he'll always love him like a brother. He said that when he was traded, he exchanged texts with him. He texted Stefan. Stefan got back to him. He said in his text, he thanked Stefan for what he's done for him for his career. When I tweeted that part out, a couple of people said, well, wait a minute. You're texting someone when you're that close, or you're texting someone a thank you. And I thought about you, Mike, because we talked about this. You don't call anybody. You text, right? And you always said, like, you don't really talk much on the phone. And I'm kind of the same way. I think it's still valuable to talk to people, but I thank people for something probably every day of my life via text.
My phone rang the Sunday before the eclipse, and it was his name, Mike's name, on the phone. And I thought he was driving back. It turns out I think you were already home. But anyway, like, I knew you were coming back from Florida and driving, and I see the phone. I'm like, "There's no way that's real. That's a mistake."
Right.
No. And I just didn't even. I didn't even text. I did not. I thought, like, if he's driving through West Virginia, I don't need to be texting him. And I just assumed it was a mistake because I haven't had a conversation on the phone with you in 20 years. I don't think.
No, the last time we talked on the phone was when I called your show after Tyler Boyd.
Okay.
Because I was off and I had to get on.
Right.
No, I haven't really thought about this, but there are different levels of friends and friendship, and yeah. I feel like, you know, if I were to have guessed about Allen and Diggs, I have kind of thought it's been strained. You know, I feel like there have been signs of that, and I feel like maybe just one guy judging from the outside texting him that is completely appropriate and even maybe above what needs to happen, not below. So, you know,
yeah,
there are,
I'll
call people. But, you know, text usually does the job.
I call my parents. My parents are the only people I call because I can't text them. Everyone else I text.
If you could, you would.
Yes, I would.
Well,
I just don't think it's any way either way to say, like, because he texted him, whether that's a sign of anything good or bad.
Yeah.
It's just that's how people communicate these days. I just turned 51 years old last week, and I text all the time with people because I am usually in situations where I don't have time to make a phone call, and I can make that really quick no matter what I'm doing. Anyway, the point is they did communicate. He did say that. He did say, Josh Allen, that, you know, obviously it's someone that, you know, has done so much for the organization and for him. And he spoke the same way about Mitch Morse, and he's talked the same way about Micah Hyde, and, you know, that this is the business of it, and he understands that, and they had to move on, and, you know, obviously they're gonna misstep on Diggs, but they have to move forward.
With Sal Capaccio, Mike Schoep, and the Bulldog, you can watch us this afternoon on the WGR Facebook page. Anything more from anybody's comments today, Sal, because we do want to spend some time with you here looking ahead to next week. Was there anything newsy from the coach, the GM, or the quarterback that we haven't mentioned?
Yeah, actually didn't come from any of those three. One thing did actually come up from Josh Allen I thought was super interesting. Two, like, kind of technical things I think are interesting. Number one, I asked Josh about the actual physical difference of breaking in with a new center. Like, what is that like? You have someone else's hands that, you know, your hands have to go under. And he actually gave a really great answer, guys. I love it. This is the stuff that I like about sports and football, which is, he said, yeah, everybody is different. He said, Mitch was more left-sided. So when guys come in, he would actually have to tell them, like, can you snap it more here? Because he felt comfortable with his hands there. And he's breaking in a new center, and Connor McGovern. Like, that's just something to watch here as – now, this is – Josh has only really known Mitch to be a center for the last, you know, 6 years, however long, 5 years Mitch has been here. The other thing was super interesting. Terrell Bernard, actually, I asked him about his playing weight because he's an undersized backer. And, you know, to stay in shape and make sure you're not, you know, getting, you know, injuries and things like that. He said, I normally play at 225, but this year I came in at 226 or 227, and I'm going to try and see what that is. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, that's a pound.
Right.
And I tweeted this out, and it's the same reaction that people have, that you're looking at me and I'm talking, which is, oh, come on, a pound? But he made it to be a difference. He said, I'm going to see how that feels, which is incredible to me.
Yeah, I would agree. I wouldn't think 1 pound, like 5 pounds. You know,
right.
It's a pound is big when you're trying to lose 30 and it's 29. Let me tell you from recent experience. So I might relate a slight bit to Bernard, but Yeah, like we'll.
I also
we'll
think
keep
it's noteworthy that,
that
Bernard was the guy, though. I think it's noteworthy that we only heard from one other person other than Josh Allen today, Terrell Bernard.
He's
the middle linebacker.
He's your green dot guy now.
Yep.
Right? Right? I mean, Milano was talked about.
He is the green dot, and I think without Micah Hyde, guys, if this was like in years past, we always heard from Micah or Jordan.
Right.
Obviously, Jordan's gone. Micah's no longer on the team right now, at least. That was something they talked about. He is going to do his softball game. By the way, just a shameless plug here, we're going to have Micah Hyde on the Extra Point Show tomorrow. So we'll talk a little bit more about, you know, what his future might hold. But he made it clear that he's not on a team right now, and that hasn't been decided. But the point I'm making is there, one of the tones of today overall, Mike and Chris, was the leadership change with the Buffalo Bills. It's not just the players they lost. There was a big tone today about the leadership change and how you're losing Micah Hyde, most likely, Jordan Poyer, Mitch Morse, Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis, who was a captain, and new people have to take on these new roles, including Josh Allen, who Sean McDermott said that's something Josh actually has really been working on in his game, is his own leadership aspect of his game, which I found interesting. And then you bring out Terrell Bernard, you know, as the guy who speaks to us in his third year. I just think all of that is really interesting how this is transforming here.
How about with the draft in mind? Of course, you don't get answers at press conferences like this about what Brandon Bean and the Bills are likely to do. We've talked about some of the dynamics here with Allen's involvement to whatever extent it matters. But wide receiver has, of course, been so much of the speculation here. The Diggs being traded, what does it all add up to, including what you might have gleaned from today, Sal, for what Bean might have planned for next week? And that includes players who are not in the draft. You know, that can include Brandon Ayuk, or, I don't know, free agents even to this point, Michael Thomas, just anybody.
That clip you guys played that Zach played coming out, there was an audio clip, and you said you hadn't heard that from Brandon Bean yet. That was from today when he said, you know, if there's a number one out there via free agency or draft, you know, he didn't say trade, which I thought was interesting. And I don't know if you specifically omitted the word trade, right? And I'm thinking, well, what about trade? Would you trade for a number one guy? I find it hard to believe they would because they'd have to give that person a contract, right? And I think that's the reason why they've done a lot of the things they've done anyway. But now you're leaving that number one spot to maybe, and it looks like what could be a rookie here. We asked him about trading, obviously, and you know where that might stand. And he's always going to give you the same answer. We're always willing and you know open for business and you know take calls. What he did say was he's not going to get any calls. He doesn't expect to get any calls from any team in the top 10. He said, but there's no rule I can't call a team in the top 10. Then he joked, and John Warrow asked the question. He looked at John, and he goes, think they'll take my call, John? Meaning like, hey, it's going to be really tough to do something like that, even if I wanted to. It's probably a waste of everybody's time once I start calling people. So I think he at least gave the tone of that. Doesn't mean he won't try. We don't know that.
Right.
He talked about trading down even. He did say they don't have 28 first-round grades. They picked 28th. And, you know, that's something we always talk about. Like, are you getting first-round value?
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be guys taken that don't have first-round grades for the Bills, so they might. But I thought that was interesting. And then you brought it up, Mike, the Dalton Kincaid trade from a year ago. And, hey, there was a guy I really wanted. I went up and I got him, and I want to sleep better at night, you know, knowing that I got the guy that I wanted to get. But he also said in Carolina they did have a couple years where they traded their first-round pick, and he thought a year later that it might not have been worth it because – they had spots where they could have taken someone and they didn't have a pick. And I think he wants to also guard against that after that feeling.
Yeah, well, that's how that goes, right? I mean, you could trade up and get a good player. It doesn't mean you necessarily needed to do it. But the league has just tons of history on both sides where, you know, whatever Carolina counts for in this way, trading up it can be problematic, you know. But the Bills have, you know, they've traded fourth round picks to do that, and they have their share of more than their share of Saturday picks to use as pieces if that's what it comes down to. What does it mean to you that the Bills do not have a third round pick? I, as I often do, my favorite idea is moving down, and if somebody wants to move up to 28, that's where you should be able to maybe do a second and a third, get that third round pick day two. That's could be good for wide receiver, could be good for what you do, what you didn't do because you picked a receiver earlier. For me, that's the best case scenario, but maybe that's not for you so important.
It means a lot to me because it clearly meant a lot to Brandon Bean when we spoke to him at the owners' meetings, and he said they were upset about it, that they didn't get a third-round pick. They thought they were going to get the third-round pick Tremaine Edmonds comp pick. They got a fourth-round pick instead, and he said it was a major blow. And he talked about how it kind of altered their plans. Well, 2 weeks later, they trade for a second-round pick next year. And I do think it's very important to note that they got that second-round pick a couple weeks after he made those comments. And I'm wondering if their plan was, we have to use that third-round pick as capital to move. Now we don't have one. What do? Let's get a second-round pick, because here's why. He said this today. We know this, but he said it again. It's always a higher round the year later. If you make a trade. So he said today, if he's going to trade up, it's going to cost him next year's number one, because you always have to pay more of a premium, a round higher the following year. If you're going to give next year's pick, you got to give a higher round. You can't do it this year. It's not worth as much to everybody, right? Think about that for a second. He has no third. He picks up an extra second next year. To me, that is the exact same as having the third round this year, if that makes sense in a trade.
It does. Before you go, how about, like, what for you, a name, a player that would just be the best, as you see the Bills, best case scenario for round one? Who's the guy you would love to see them pick the most?
Well, look, I don't think that it's going to be able to happen because of the capital it would take. I think the dream scenario is Roma Dunze falls low enough where they can even give up next year's first. Obviously, you have to go up even more than that, and you go up and you get Roma Dunze. I think that he would be the dream scenario here. If we're talking about guys who are probably realistic options, maybe even having to trade a few spots, I think Brian Thomas Jr. fits that the most. After that, I think Xavier Worthy might be my guy. And the reason why I like Worthy more than a lot of the others, guys, they don't have a return man on this team right now either. Like, they got guys who can return. They don't have a return man. Like, Xavier Worthy can be a return man, and we know how fast he is. He checks all those boxes. I like Brian Thomas first, but I do think Worthy fits what they need and what they want on their roster.
Worthy has really grown on me, Sal. Like, I'm remembering, you remember, right after the AFC title game in 20, like, speed, right? One of the key ways the Chiefs are beating me here is Tyreek Hill, and I just can't keep up, and I need something like that in my offense. And they really, I don't know how much heaven and earth they've moved to try to get that, but they don't have it.
Yeah, I agree with that, and they've talked a lot about it. And again, today, what did we hear today? Run after catch, talked about running with the ball in your hands and things like, I mean, these are guys that, you know, these are things that we've heard for the last couple of months. So I like Worthy. Now, Mike, in your scenario, if they were to trade down, that's fine. There's a lot of really good players, but I'm a big Xavier Leggett fan. Ladd McConkey, I like Ricky Pearsall. I think he's more of a slot guy, but he can play outside. But, you know, there are guys I think you can go down. Javon Baker wouldn't be a first-round pick. So, yeah, you want to go down? You want to trade and pick up an extra third-rounder? He also talked today, and I think he meant this year, but I wasn't kind of clear on the answer. We'll have to go back and listen. I think he meant this year, too, that there's a bigger gap from between the top of the second to the bottom of the second round than there is between the end of round one and the start of round two. So I think to me, that means the sweet spot is – kind of where they're picking and maybe the next, 15 picks, let's say, something like that. Maybe you trade down, you're still getting the value you want, and you pick up that extra third rounder that would fit, you know, kind of what your scenario is.
100%, right. I don't think I would have called it my dream scenario last year, but I found my old notes and I realized I was on Osiris Torrance a week before the draft last year. That was the guy that I was like, all right, I'll give you a name. This is the guy I want. And that worked out round two anyway for Torrance last year. Sal, thank you, and we'll be talking a lot, of course, in the next week.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
That's our Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
We'll continue our Facebook Live NFL pre-draft show coming up with Sneaky Joe. First, Buffalo, the Honda you want, is now in stock at your local Upstate Honda dealer. Now is the perfect time to drive in the moment with our road trip ready Honda vehicles. When you're driving a Honda, you're driving the brand named Kelley Blue Books, KBB.com, best value brand for 2023. So bring on the weekend getaways, bring on the far destinations, bring on the memories. Now is the time to buy a Honda for great deals. Shop online or visit your closest Upstate Honda dealer today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.